Today's date, Michael, is July 17th, 2009.
What are you telling me for? It's not like I won't get it right in the first try. Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 17th, 2009. It's me, Mike, with my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
And joining us today is Joey Shinogu Chu.
The other me, as I came to know him.
The only other person who ever did the news for the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Well, no, not the only one.
Oh.
Two weeks in a row. The only time we weren't here at all.
Yeah, so. I think Fiend did it.
Yeah, cool. So we have to be fair. All right. So, we got an exciting show today because we got NPDs and all the other news that came out. Then we'll do 2008. We're finishing up.
It's the last one.
Yeah, we're finishing up the
whole. We're done for after this week.
We are. Well, no. We got plenty of great ideas.
Yeah.
Segments. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. Man, that was 22 weeks, though.
Yeah. When you first told me this idea, I was like, man, this is going to get old.
No,
it's
gonna
be boring.
Great.
No one's gonna like it.
No, it was our best segment ever.
I know,
most popular one we ever did. So we'll finish that up. Then we'll do the quiz inspired by the games of 2008. Kind of silly at this point. I mean, not silly, but it's like, you know, we did our like game of the years from 2008. Not too long.
We did
ago.
It for 07. So
yeah, well, true. All right, so we'll do that. Then we'll do our weekend gaming. Then we'll wrap up the show with the game releases and everything, and that'll be it. So why don't we get started?
Okay. NPD numbers, ahoy. Let's get into it. The winner for this month, or well, for June, rather, Nintendo DS, 766,500. Followed by the Wii at 361,700. The 360 at 240,600. The PS3 at 164,700. PSP at 163,500. And the PS2 at 152,700. These are all increases over last month, but apparently we're down from this time last year.
I mean, this time last year, our software releases were things like Metal Gear and stuff like that. I don't think we have huge software
titles. Yeah, nothing
titles.
That big.
I mean, our biggest release was Prototype.
Yeah.
In June. So, I mean, nothing against Prototype, but it's not a Metal Gear or anything like that. Plus, I mean, there's just the overall recession going on. So, it's not, I don't think it's the end of the world.
So you're seeing for the first time, really, not a huge gap between the Wii and the 360, like at all.
It's still plus 100,000, but yeah, it's not huge. The gap between the 360 and the PS3 is pretty much the same. It's still
a gap.
It's still
which
like
is
half
a big problem for Sony.
Not half,
still
no, it's a bit less. It's less
like
than half.
Two-thirds.
Right. So they still have to work on that. DS is doing pretty good though.
Yeah.
That's still making. I don't know who doesn't have a DS at this point. I guess. People break
It's the DSi.
Yeah.
Maybe the PS3 Slim is just what Sony needs.
Nintendo DS, that encompasses DSi and just DS Lite.
And DS Fats, if they're still out there anywhere.
I don't know which ones would be. But, I mean, besides that, I mean, you have the usual, you know, Sony's bringing up the rear, you got the Nintendo stuff up front, and Xbox is sandwiched in between.
Yeah.
So, it's typical things. What did software look like?
Software was fun and exciting. We have Prototype for the 360 at number one, 419,900. Then UFC, continuing its domination of the charts for 360. EA Sports Active comes in at number three. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 10 on the Wii, followed by
Wii. Is this the first time the Wii version of Tiger Woods is the best-selling one?
Probably. Well, it's the best one, I'd say, with the Motion Plus. You got Wii Fit at number five, so EA Sports Active beat Wii Fit only by about 18,000 units, but still.
Well, it's newer.
Yeah. You got Fight Night Round 4, number 6 on the 360, and number 7 on the PS3. Mario Kart Wii is number 8, Red Faction Guerrilla, number 9, and then Infamous on the PS3. Which means Prototype sold a huge amount of 360, but Infamous is still outselling Prototype on the PS3.
Right.
Which
that makes sense.
You really just want to kind of say, isn't this like... Can we, like, please admit that everything sells better on the 360 and, like, Sony needs to stop saying, like, oh, our attach ratio is better and things. They really need to do something.
I don't know. I think it's interesting that this is the first month that we play is not on the top 10 charts.
I think
it's
only like 29 consecutive months.
Yeah, it's the first time it's not
just
up
wait
there.
For the holidays, and then I'll jump right back in.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
When did Ghostbusters come out? It came out in June, right?
Yeah, it didn't chart.
Didn't chart? That's a little sad. I like to think it did well, but it's not charting, which makes me sad. I mean, I don't know. Besides that, anything else that is a glaring omission? Not really.
To my thinking.
This is pretty much what you would expect. There's a lot of EA Sports games doing well.
Yeah, you know, UFC. Although, I'm kind of surprised UFC PS3 is already off the list, too.
Yeah, well, UFC 360 is the number two. Yep. Yeah, you're right. That supports your argument better, is the fact that UFC PS3 is not even on there anymore.
I'll be interested to see what the Madden numbers will be for August.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Well, even just NCAA will be a good indication.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the rest of the news?
Well, let's go into some more commonplace stuff. After announcing last week the Summer of Arcade schedule, there's been some slight adjustments. Explosion Man will be the first game, and Turtles in Time is moved to the back of the schedule for whatever reason.
So we got an August release for Turtles now.
Yep, that's fine.
All right, I'll wait, I guess.
UFC faces its toughest fight ever with Electronic Arts. Apparently, they're pissed. UFC president Dana White had some choice nuggets to say about EA. Apparently, they approached EA like a year and a half or 2 years ago about making a game, and EA, I mean, in his words, like, he basically says they told them to go fuck themselves. I'm sure it was a little more polite than that.
Right.
But here's what he has to say. "We put our asses on the line, THQ and the UFC, to make a video game deal in the worst economy in the world. We go out there and do this thing, and it's successful, and now expletive EA Sports wants to do a video game. Really? That's not what you told us a year and a half ago." He then says, "To anyone appearing in EA's MMA game, you won't be in the UFC."
Ooh. If he's serious about that, that could really hurt EA's MMA game.
Yeah. He says, "I'm not tap dancing around this thing or whatever. I'm telling you straight up, I'm at war with EA right now. That's how I look at it. EA doesn't give an expletive about MMA. They made that very clear."
Huh. I mean, I can see why he's a little peeved, because it seems like, oh, we made a UFC game and successful, now EA wants to make one too.
I think you have to keep in mind, though, a year and a half ago, Peter Moore was not the lead at Electronic Arts. And Peter Moore, I believe he had a hand in a UFC game on, like, the Dreamcast.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, still, he thinks of it as EA, he doesn't think of it as, oh, Peter Moore.
I mean, I just like it. I like
Peter Moore came in and said, "Well, hey, let's make sure we get the UFC license."
I like the bit about a video game deal in the worst economy in the world.
Yeah,
like everyone else stopped making video games, but we kept going.
Yeah, he's being a little dramatic.
Yeah, it's a little melodramatic right there. Yeah,
but
everyone
else
stopped taking risks.
Yeah.
I can see why he's upset. I'd be interested to see if he's actually serious about that. You won't be in the UFC deal.
That's interesting. That could kind of hurt EA pretty
right.
good.
But no, I really would be surprised if this EA MMA game does sell better than UFC, because it doesn't have the UFC name.
Right.
Like, I don't know why EA said no to the UFC a year and a half ago. I mean, they were growing. They were growing then.
Yeah,
they're
what
still
I thought.
Growing now. So I don't know why you would say no to that. But whatever.
All right. Next up in some Street Fighter news. Ryoto Nitsuma, he's the assistant producer on the arcade version of Street Fighter 4, has admitted to Video Gamer that Seth and Saget are overpowered.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so.
Their boss character. And
what I want to know is, why the hell don't they fix it? That's why we have consoles with patches.
No, because typically whenever they had to fix balancing issues, they just release a new version of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, they say that, you know, we still feel that the best World Warriors out there can beat Saget and Seth players. It's like, I don't give a shit. Fix it.
Yeah, whatever. The best World Warriors. I like the title we've been given.
Yes.
Street Fighter 2, the World Warriors. All right.
If you have a PlayStation 3 and you have Fallout 3, you're screwed once again. The DLC has been pushed back to September instead of late June, which is, you may have noticed, is come and gone. they're reordering it, though. Broken Steel will come first, at least. So you can start, like, getting towards level 30, which is nice.
See, maybe this is also another reason why games sell better on the 360 than the PS3. It seems to be the promise of DLC, like, much sooner. And
yeah,
even just in
helps.
General, aren't you saying that Marvel's Capcom 2 is, like, not...
It comes out July 29th on the 360, and I think August 13th on the PS3.
See, why is that?
I don't know, because everyone thought kind of Sony was in bed with Capcom.
Yeah.
But remember, that demo came first. Everyone thought it was like there was some kind of Sony deal worked out.
And that was a demo, you know, it wasn't a full game.
But they didn't get a demo on the 360. I don't know.
It's weird.
Okay, other delays. BioShock 2 pushed back to the first half of 2010.
It's a pretty big delay, I guess. I mean,
I'm not surprised.
I was kind of expecting it. I didn't even realize that there was a date.
Yeah, it was early November.
Yeah, like they actually had like November 3rd as like the date. I didn't even know that.
I knew there was no way it was going to happen. We haven't even seen anything of the game since that first initial tease.
You know, when there wasn't really much being shown at E3 besides like multiplayer, I kind of thought that was the writing on the wall.
You know what kind of worries me now is the news that there are four different development studios spread across the world working on this game.
I don't know if that worries me so much. I think that kind of thing happens a lot with these big games.
But I think part of the problem is a large part of like BioShock's identity was this was Ken Levine's thing.
Would you feel better? He's moved on. Ken Levine.
Yeah.
He's not doing BioShock.
I don't know. If you really would feel better if somebody had his name attached to it, I don't know. I'll still wait and see.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Right.
I just don't think it's going to revolutionize things like the first game.
I think it's silly with these big games like this, like a BioShock with Ken Levine or with a Fable 2, you're like, oh, it's Peter Molyneux. Like, these games are so big. The way we attach one person's name to it sometimes gets on my nerves. Because it's ridiculous. Like, it's one thing to say, like, oh, this, you know, like, when independent games and stuff like that, you can make those
like Jonathan Blow and Braid.
Right.
Yeah, because he pretty much did make that game by himself.
But, like, you can say that, but, like, it's not like Ken Levine was in his basement, you know, coding and stuff.
On the other hand, like, you know, when you attach a creator's name to a game, like, for Peter Molyneux, like, you definitely get, like, a certain feel for Fable 2. I don't know how you could get, like a specific, like, creator identity from BioShock. But I guess that's probably, like, part of what we expect from Ken Levine, you know? And then we sort of know we're not going to get that from BioShock 2. It's going to be more folding it in, going with the mythology that we already had established, and just, like, going along those lines.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm so optimistic. We'll see.
Yep.
I'm holding out hope.
Who's got $150 lying around?
Not
I got
me.
$30.
Well, then you won't be getting the Modern Warfare 2 Prestige Edition. In addition to the game, you get an art book called Behind the Lines, a steelbook case, the original Call of Duty on Xbox Live Arcade or PSN, and night vision goggles.
Man. Are these good there's
a little head-shaped statue to put them on. You can see something like 80 feet away in either black and white or like the night vision green. Ooh. They are night vision goggles.
Man, I kind of want that now.
I know. If you don't want the goggles, but you want all that other stuff, you can get the Hardened Edition for $80.
Sure that.
Well, you consider you get the code for Call of Duty, which is probably $10. That's not too bad a deal.
I guess. I still want goggles.
Well, start saving money. It's either that or the Dissidia PSP, Mike. You must choose.
I want both.
If you're a loyal Club Nintendo fan, you could soon be getting Doc Lewis's Punch-Out. It's a WiiWare reward for Club Nintendo members.
What is it?
It's just a single fight, Little Mac versus Doc Lewis.
What?
You didn't see this?
No, I didn't see this.
Yeah, it looks pretty amazing.
What? I want this.
I know. Well, I don't know exactly what you need. If you need like a certain number of
fans
or whatever.
It was like last December, they started the Club Nintendo thing. You enter in your register code and you complete a survey, you get the coins. Then it was like points, you know, and then if you reach the threshold, you became a gold or platinum tier member. And that gave you like certain free rewards, like the Punch-Out. And the other platinum was a Mario hat, which I got. Just,
what sucked though is that none of that was retroactive. Like, I already had my Wii and a bunch of games registered, and I didn't get anything for them.
I guess it depends on... I'm pretty sure you did. You could have.
Oh, really?
If you synced up your old My Nintendo with your Club Nintendo account.
No, I did. I mean, they show up as registered. I just didn't get any coins for them.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm not really too worried about it.
And the gold member's got a calendar.
Ooh. Okay. I can't think of a clever segue, so I'm just going to say this. CD Red Project has announced that they are releasing The Witcher Enhanced Edition Director's Cut. This will include all the content from the 1.5 patch and the long-awaited, uncensored version of the game, which will feature, yes, nudity in the little cards you collect after you sleep with somebody.
All right.
Woo. So finally, the complete experience comes to America.
Yay.
This will be a patch for the existing owners, and they're going to sell it direct on their website, Steam, Direct to Drive, and Impulse.
Well, there you go.
Bill Gates has confirmed that Natal will also be coming to PCs.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Apparently they're already using it in Microsoft for, like, apparently it's really good for, like, video conferencing and things like that.
Yeah. Well, if they say so.
I mean, I'm guessing it's just a USB device in the 360, so I don't see why not.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Still skeptical about it in any use. What is... Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Harmonix has announced how they will be bringing more user-generated kind of content to Rock Band with the Rock Band Network.
What is this?
The basic idea here is that originally they're kind of making it for more like indie performers, but really, it can be used by anybody where you take these tools and you can have your own people do it, or you can hire freelance Harmonix approved developers to do this stuff. They make the note tracks, put it up into a separate store from the main Rock Band store, and you can sell songs for anywhere from 50 cents to $3.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're like an indie musician, and if you want to teach yourself how to do this, you can get your songs into Rock Band.
I'll be interested to see if this works. If this comes of anything.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
I don't know. We'll see. Because
according to what Harmonix said, with their team size right now, the best they can do is 10 songs a day. But this will open it up to, you know,
right,
a ton of songs.
10 songs a day?
That's already a lot.
Well, keep in mind, they're also working on Beatles Rock Band right now, too, these same people. So it's not like they're just doing that. That's like if they were to do nothing but.
All right.
And finally, an NXE update has been announced. The press will be getting it on Monday. If you go to Major Nelson's website, certain community members will get early access to it this coming Wednesday. And I don't know when the actual date for it is. It's a lot of the stuff they talked about at E3, except no Facebook, Twitter, or Last.fm yet. But I've got kind of the full list of it. I'll go through this quickly because some of it's pretty neat. First is like the updates to Netflix they talked about. There's movie parties where you can, you know, make a party and see like kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000 movies with your avatars.
That was at E3.
Yeah, you could, you know, manage your queue from the console. They have... it's an enhanced playback experience, which if you ever watch a movie on Netflix and, like, your connection stutters, it'll kind of stop and restream it. They have a new technology, which I tried, like, a demo of it on the PC using Silverlight, where it can dynamically adjust the video. It works really well. It's really cool. They're introducing the Avatar Marketplace, where you can buy premium clothing items, props, and they're also releasing awardables. Like, an achievement can unlock something for your avatar.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
The Games On Demand channel is launching. Wait,
is that retroactive?
I don't... I imagine people could go in and add this stuff. I mean, it doesn't exist yet, the items. But if they wanted to... Like, if... Some, if like, if they wanted to create Ghostbusters clothing, they probably could.
Okay.
The Games On Demand channel will be launching. You buy games with Xbox 360 games, and this is also where the Xbox Originals are going. With either points or just straight up off your credit or debit card. You can get the game manuals on Xbox.com and print them and all that. Increased or improved user ratings. Some improvements to Xbox Live Party. Nice, most notably, party reconnection. If you get disconnected from the party and then when you get back on live, it'll automatically reconnect you to your party, which is nice.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're streamlining party invites. Some video display improvements. They'll have like a gold member veteran thing. You know, it's like gold member since however long. They're renaming community games to indie games, a better achievement browser and achievement tracking, streamlined navigation, parts of the dashboard to get to active downloads, redeeming codes, recovering gamer tags. Recovering gamer tags will be faster. Friend list sorting, memory timestamps, subscription notifications, and yeah, some other stuff.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yep.
Is that it?
That's it.
For news? All right. Let's get to the game of the year stuff. All right. This wasn't a very, you know, this wasn't too long ago now or anything. So this should all be very fresh in our minds.
Yes.
Okay. First off, since we're doing this alphabet, we have Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden.
Yay.
Yes. Which we just did a giant 2-hour podcast on.
Go listen to that.
So we don't need the same.
This morning.
We don't need to say much more about
it. Or, you know,
this.
The game's free. You can go download it and play it.
Go play it. It's great. It's hilarious, you know. Slam with the rest, jam with the best, you know. Blaze of Blue Calamity Trigger, which, you know, came out in Japan around this time. Probably in Arcade or something. But, I mean, again, I've been talking about how much I love this game very recently. So.
There it is.
There that is. All right. Braid.
Braid.
We don't have George on.
Ha ha ha.
I can love Braid.
Yay.
Talk about how sweet Braid is. I love Braid, and it's sweet.
I feel like we don't have too much to say about any of these games because we're still talking about a lot of them. So this is going to go pretty quickly.
I did, like, finally start a second playthrough of Braid recently. And, you know, like, of course you know how to do a lot of these puzzles now. It's not as hard. But it's still just...
It's a relaxing experience.
Yeah, it is.
There's something very therapeutic.
The music, the art, everything.
It's very nice.
It is. I know George's biggest hang-up is the way the story is presented through the sort of...
disembodied books that are very vague and confusing.
Yeah, he doesn't care for that very much.
That's fine.
He calls it elementary. But I don't know. I enjoy it. I love Braid. And, I mean, I really do think it sort of started something pretty big with downloadable games and, like, kind of being...
The indie scene got big because of that.
Yeah, it did. Continuing right on after that, we also had Castle Crashers as a pretty big DLC release. It was kind of neat just to see, like, a new, like, side-scrolling beat-em-up game with the co-op and everything.
Yep.
It was also a very good-looking game. Okay, Dead Space came out. Fox Tastical, actually, he just did something recently. He said, I don't understand why a game like Dead Space doesn't get the attention of, like, or the praise that a GTA 4 does, or something like that.
I know. I haven't beaten Dead Space yet, but I've played through, like, probably about half of it. And, there's nothing wrong with this game. It's really pretty. It plays well. It's interesting atmosphere, story.
Right. It's like, I don't understand why Dead Space is Dead Space and, like, Gears of War is Gears of War.
Yeah. Like, Dead Space is great.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand why Dead Space is an 8, but GTA 4 is a 10.
Right.
I guess that's my only complaint. Like, I'm not saying Dead Space should be more than an 8, maybe.
I mean, it's new IP. They handled it really well with all the... They did, like, the animated thing.
I just love the way all the HUDs were done.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. And you see so many games doing that now. Like, look at, watching that footage.
Ghostbusters does it.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, I remember that's footage we were watching of Split Second. And, like, the way, like, the HUD for that is, like, it's on the back of the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of the new thing now. It's like, oh, we don't have to actually have HUDs anymore.
I like that a lot.
No, I really liked Dead Space, though. I thought it was kind of underappreciated when it came out. Fable 2...
I like Fable 2.
Fable 2 is fun. It was fun to play through, but I think it's ultimately kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I mean, once again, Peter Molyneux promised the moon and gave us a nice little rock that he found. But, you know, it was a cool rock.
Fable 2, a cool rock. I like your analogy.
But, you know, they did a very nice job supporting it with some DLC.
I liked the mechanics of the game. I liked the whole, you know, here's your ranged button, here's your melee button, here's your magic button.
Well, I think where the game falls apart the most is in the social interaction, because they're so binary.
Yeah, the social...
You can get someone to fall in love with you and marry you in about 5 minutes.
And co-op was a total disappointment.
And what I hated was their reason for not allowing, like, you to just bring your character into co-op. It's like, well, you're a guest in that hero's world, and the AI wouldn't know how to act around two heroes. I'm like, oh, fuck off, I don't care. You don't have to worry about the lore when I'm playing co-op. I just want to be able to play.
Exactly.
And I don't know why, even online, it still treated it like it was single screen.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it was just...
That was a huge missed opportunity. People would still be playing this if the online co-op were better.
And it was a much touted feature at the time, and then it kind of came out and fizzled.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, the magic system, like, kind of didn't think worked out that well. My character didn't use much magic anyway.
I just used the time slowdown magic a lot.
Maybe. Any love for Fable 2, Joey?
Well, I've been silent all this time, so I guess that basically tells you.
Okay.
Alright. Fallout 3!
Woo!
Which I did love, and,
Where's my Pip-Boy? Here he is.
AJ, your visual props do not work well on a podcast.
I just want to get him out. He makes me happy.
Well, I don't know why you hid him behind your monitor then.
Not Pip-Boy, but my little Vault-Tec bobblehead, I guess.
Yeah, your Pip-Boy would be the thing you wear on your wrist.
Yeah. Silly me.
Did you get that? Yeah, we both got.
No, we didn't get the wrist.
You didn't get the Amazon special edition.
No, regrettably. I forgot that was a thing. But, you know, this was a great game. It's been supported very well with DLC. A lot of it. It's still coming.
Still more to come.
Yeah, they must be doing pretty well with those DLC packs.
I would hope. They're phenomenal. They're really well made. They're all interesting.
And I think they really turned Fallout into, like, a franchise here that is going to have mass appeal now.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it seems like it sold pretty well. People are still kind of playing it and talking about it.
It's phenomenal. I think it's such a good game. I mean, we both picked this as our game of the year for 2008, and it was a very easy decision.
I think Bethesda's going to have a pretty nice cycle now with going between Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
I'm all for it for
the rest of their lives.
I'm all for that.
Far Cry 2. Did you play Far Cry 2?
I did. I rented it.
I know Beige liked it a lot.
Yeah. My biggest problems with it were, one, like, you know, it had, like, the whole open world thing going, but, like, I don't know. It just seemed like I would kill guys in this area, drive away from it, and then when I came back 5 minutes later, they all respawned. So it kind of made it feel almost like my actions in the world really didn't have that much weight if these guys just so quickly came back.
Right.
Because that's one thing that, like, Infamous does well, is you take over areas and everything that kind of empty out a little bit. You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean.
And then, like, I mean, ultimately, the open world just served as, you know, you're just going to drive to this location and go through what is basically a level, finish that, and then go back and, you know, I don't know. I mean, it is.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard for me because I've had this game explained to me by a lot of people, but I have not actually played it at all.
It is very good. It's just got some flaws that keep it from being great. And the malaria thing is stupid.
What's that?
Your character gets infected with malaria in the beginning of the game, and every so often he'll just go into, like, these kind of episodes where he starts, like, puking and gets real weak. And I heard, like, if it happens to you, like, while you're swimming, you just drown. Like, there's nothing you can do.
That's nice.
Yeah, and so you have to, like, take some pills or something. If you don't have the pills, then you're screwed. But then, like, you know, I had a really cool thing going with the buddy system where that instead of, like, lives, you had your buddies who would come and help you out of jams. And, you know, when something really emergent did happen in the game and it worked well, it was really cool. So I feel like if they just refine that for a Far Cry 3, it could be really good.
Okay, next was Gears of War 2.
Which I still do need to go back and finish. I think I'm, like what'd you say, a third of the way through it or something?
Yeah, about. I mean, the game's... I still think that, the stories are kind of stupid. Characters aren't, you know, developed particularly well. But they're very pretty games. The mechanics are excellent.
Mm-hmm. You know that, what's it called now? What's that, like, multiplayer big update that's supposed to be coming out?
What?
There's a thing, it's like for $20 you get every multiplayer map and a new single player chapter.
Oh, really?
And apparently they inadvertently posted it for an hour today at half the price, and if you got it, you got it.
Oh, that's nice for whoever got it.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. Okay, Grand Theft Auto 4. I don't know, we beat up on Grand Theft Auto 4 a lot, don't we?
Yeah, it's fine, it's just that it's still, to me, it's still like that case of, it does all these things, but not one of them particularly well.
Yeah.
The shooting is still not good. It's better, but it's still not good. And I hate how Rockstar seems to be splintered in itself, where half the company wants to make this, like, serious kind of crime drama, and the other half wants to make, like, dick and fart jokes and penises flopping around. And
right, exactly. Yeah, it's just, I can't get into it. I can't.
And I also feel that the main story in the game is just too long.
It is a little long.
It really is. Like, maybe the episodes, like, because they're shorter, are better for it. I mean, I don't have the game anymore. I sold it, so right. I won't be playing them. But
I kind of like how with Fallout 3, if you want to just do the story, it probably wouldn't take you all that long.
Yeah, if you just blaze through the main story in Fallout 3, it doesn't take all that long.
Left 4 Dead.
Yay!
That was fun.
I love Left 4 Dead.
It's cool. I mean, it is what it is. It's 4 levels. You play through them a lot, co-op. Or that versus mode, which is kind of neat. I mean, is there anything else anyone wants to say about it?
I like Left 4 Dead.
I know you do. Do you have anything of substance to say about it?
Not really. I'll look forward to the sequel.
You're not signing any petitions or anything?
No. Like I said, you get 5 new levels, 2 new infective, new weapons, new characters. If that was DLC, it would cost $50 or $60 anyway. So who cares?
All right. Little Big Planet.
This game didn't end up being as big as I think Sony hoped it would.
Well, I'm sure Sony was hoping for a lot. I did think it was cool, though. I think the game pretty much did everything it promised, really.
Yeah, people still complain about, like, the kind of floaty controls and everything.
I guess, but, I mean, I thought the basic platform was really neat, the sort of grabbing and jumping. That was basically the whole premise.
Here's my question. Did you ever try to make a level in this?
I messed around with it.
I didn't even touch it.
I tried to make a Christmas level. Hey, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I tried, and then it would just be hard to do. But yeah, if I put mind to it, I probably would be able to make one.
I mean, it's like with anything with that has user tools. It's not going to be used.
It just seemed like, though, I thought it was going to be more the forefront of the experience. But really, you had to go and unlock everything, I felt like they almost were trying to hide it from you.
I guess. I mean, I think for a lot of people, these things, they're always just going to download everyone else's levels. And when
I feel like the goal was like even the most basic user couldn't wait to make something with this and would be able to do it so easily.
I think you think that just because they were showing that off so much whenever they showed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think they confused the message.
Maybe. I mean, I think maybe there should have been more in there about how good of a platforming game this was. Besides all of that,
right?
But
then it'd be hard to sell a platforming game. Yeah,
it would be hard to just sell it as, like, a new 2D
platformer
game. I mean,
the straight-up gameplay is pretty damn simple.
It's good, though.
It is good. Yeah, it works.
I liked LittleBigPlanet. I think it worked out really well. I think Mod Nation Racers, whatever it's called, is going to be cool. I thought it was a good game, but like I said, it didn't take the world by storm like maybe they were hoping for.
Right.
Then you have, you know, the exact opposite of a Risk in the super safe Mario Kart Wii.
Which still, I say, has the best online play of any Wii game.
Yeah. I mean, I think this was a very good Mario Kart. I know some people were upset that some of the features from Mario Kart Double Dash were like the whole tube kart thing. Some of the special moves were left out. But it had a nice mix of old tracks. Wait, did this have old tracks?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. And I thought that a lot of the new tracks were really good. I thought it was a good Mario Kart. It's still selling very well.
Yep.
So, there it is, Mario Kart. Mega Man 9, the biggest news story of 2008.
Woo!
Mega 9, which is not as hard as people make it out
to
be.
No, it's just you're not going to beat it your first time through without dying.
Yeah.
Just accept that fact and you'll be fine.
But, I mean, I just loved the idea behind the game.
Yeah, I want to see this trend continue.
Right, just make an old-school game. And I loved how, I mean, it wasn't even just like old-school Mega Man. It wasn't like, oh, here's a game that plays like Mega Man 3. No, this is going to play like Mega Man 2. it was great. I enjoyed it heavily, and I hope we see Mega Man 10 at some point. Metal Gear Solid 4. Another game George doesn't like very much that I love.
What he calls the industry's biggest practical joke.
Yeah, he thinks that Hideo Kojima is just desperately trying. Which I think it's to say Hideo Kojima is trying to kill the Metal Gear series.
Well, you see, he just...
At this point, it's hard to believe when he's like, here's two more Metal Gear games.
Well, he's announced, too, that he was, when he was making Peace Walker, he was gonna hand it off, but he just didn't feel it was time yet. He has to take this one, too.
Whatever.
I'm just waiting for when they change that game's name to Metal Gear Solid 5 Peace Walker.
Yeah, honestly. Nah, they won't.
But, no, I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4 is good.
No,
I don't think it's as good as 3.
Oh, okay, 3 is great. And, okay, and I always like the way Bay says this is Metal Gear with everything to 11. The cutscenes are longer. You know, the action's more intense. The sneaking is more involved. You know, it's like everything you love or hate about Metal Gear, there's more of it.
That's true.
You know, and I mean, yeah, there are some long cutscenes, but I mean, I still think this was a really good game. I feel like this game was almost, like, looked too good. Like, the only way the game was, like, able to run was you had to, like, install, like, every 5 hours worth of gameplay you were going to do separately. Like, it wasn't practical how good this game looked, or how technically impressive it was. Like, you should not make games this high tech yet.
Yeah.
We should wait a few years till we figure out how to do it properly. But I was very impressed by Metal Gear Solid 4. And I kind of almost wish they would do, like, just Metal Gear Solid 5 with similar kind of control scheme. Maybe without sort of, like, the burden of we have to explain all of our other games.
Yeah.
Mirror's Edge. I kind of thought this was an underlooked game. I think everyone
I believe you can get it for $6 on the PC from GoGamer this weekend.
I think everyone was way too tied up in what they thought it was going to be and didn't appreciate it for what it was.
I wish there were fewer of the indoor sections.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, my problem really with the indoor sections is that you're going through these office buildings and everything, and everything's empty. Like, where is everybody?
See, I thought there's something interesting about that sterile sort of environment. I mean, I guess I kind of know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a really interesting platform.
On the whole,
game.
Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, I played through it, and I thought it was a good experience.
I would like to try those DLC levels that are just, like, the pure
right,
platforming.
Yeah, I forgot about those. I'm sure they're cool. Did this do well for EA? Because remember, like,
I don't think it did super great. I think they made their money on it.
It's like the base story with like EA Holiday was like their big games were Mirror's Edge and Dead Space. They were new IPs.
Yeah, they admit that they shouldn't have put so many new IP out in such a busy time, which is why like Heavy Rain got pushed back to 2010.
Persona 4, which
go ahead, kids, have fun.
Yeah. I like this one more than Persona 3. I haven't beaten either, to be fair. I get far in both of them. I still plan on something going back to Persona 4. But I like being able to control my characters. My entire party.
That's revolutionary.
Yeah, I know. I like the structure to the missions and things a bit better. I like the characters a bit better. So overall, I like Persona 4 more.
I have watched you play both.
Oh, are you going to chime in now?
Yeah. Well, I will say, I like the kind of smaller scope of this game, the fact that it takes place in a smaller town, and it's not like the world's in danger. It has that kind of, I think Beige said, like that kind of Scooby-Doo gang vibe to it.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it looked fun when I watched it. I have a copy of it someday.
It's because I got two.
Well, it's because I told Mom not to get it for you for Christmas. I was getting it, and she did anyway.
Man. Joey, anything?
On Persona 4?
Yeah, go.
Well, I've started Persona 3 like 50 times, and I'm so sick of it now, I just dropped it, and I'm just playing Persona 4. And I'm loving it. It has the shiny sparkle that P3 used to have.
There you go. Alright, you have to let us know if you ever beat it and what you think.
I guess when I beat it, I'll chime in one day.
Yay.
Alright. Like how I said if, and he said when.
Uh-huh.
He's like, shut up. All right, Street Fighter 4.
Yay, I love Street Fighter 4.
I enjoy Street Fighter 4.
Street Fighter 4 was this year.
Yeah.
Well, it came out in Japan. Yeah.
No. Right?
No, its Japanese arcade release was 2008.
Yeah, I think okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's true.
I know, it's weird.
I forgot the arcade existed.
We have to maintain our rules for this that you established 22 weeks ago.
It made more sense back in 86. I don't know. Your Street Fighter 4, which, I mean, you know, what, we haven't
talked
about
it. It was just great because
it still managed
to play like Street Fighter, even though it was 3D and, you know, it looks really good. And I like what are they called now? The break attacks. They have a name.
Yeah, focus attacks.
Focus attacks. Yeah, skipping my mind. I like that system a lot, and you know, I like what they do with the meters and everything. I think it's a really good fighting game. I like it.
Super Smash Brothers Brawl, which is the much anticipated sequel to Melee.
I still like Melee better.
Yeah, I probably do too. I just like some of the balancing in Melee better.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I've said this before. I don't understand why this game is so hard to balance that, like, you can't make every character useful.
I think the problem is that they have no interest in balancing.
Exactly, and that kind of bothers me. Like, why not? It doesn't seem like it's that hard to do. Sonic doesn't have any moves that knock you out. Well, give him a move.
I'm pretty sure when they playtest it, they playtest it with items on and on silly stages and stuff. Like, they have no... They don't care.
Well, that is part of the problem too. Is I think that's the game they want to make, but the fan base wants to play the game like the way you guys play with everything turned off.
I wish they would look more at like
just on Final Destination,
right? And you know, a lot of people buy these games, but the people who keep playing it are people who want to play tournament style. And there's always going to be that conflict with Smash Brothers. Like, is it a party game or is it a fighting game? What do you want to do with it? And you know, right now it's nice that they give you the options, like so that you can turn it into more of a fighting game. But I almost wish that was more their mindset with it, instead of me kind of turning a game that almost isn't what I want it to be into what I want it to be.
Right.
World of Goo.
Goo! Yeah, that was coming. World of Goo is a very good game with, it's surprising how much personality it has for a game with a bunch of little blobs in it.
Mm-hmm. It's just a simple kind of puzzle game, just another... It's just kind of continuing the trend this year where we had a lot of interesting downloadable games. All right, that's my list. Joey, is there anything else you wanted to add?
There's quite a few things.
Oh, man.
Stuff I'm surprised you skipped over.
Like what?
Yeah,
tell me when it's...
Bionic Commando Rearmed!
Yeah, what the hell?
Oh, come on. I can't do every little downloadable game.
This is not a little downloadable game, buddy. This trumped Metal Gear Solid 4 for me last year.
Best
action game. Seriously.
It was fun. I'm still just annoyed because we came so close to beating it.
And it you didn't figure out how to do that last thing, and then the game crashed.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know what? That's the ending. We both sacrificed ourselves to stop Mecha Hitler.
Yeah, I was just so mad.
Oh, so you destroyed Hitler?
We destroyed Hitler, and then I died when I was trying to run out of the base, and I couldn't continue.
Yeah, and then the game crashes, like the ship was crashing, which is kind of appropriate, and then we're just like, ah, oh, fuck it. Well, it's just that, because that last level is so hard in co-op, because you both have to share the same screen real estate.
Yeah, it was like one of the hardest things I ever did.
But we did it.
Man, we did it.
We're like, okay, I'm going to go three platforms ahead, stop, wait, you come, then you keep going, then I'll catch up to you. It's like, oh my god, it was like a logistical nightmare.
All right, Joe, what else?
I didn't have anybody to play co-op with, so I was playing by myself and killing Hitler by myself.
Well, there you go.
Just that moment where you make his head explode and to show it three times.
They nailed that. They got that so right.
Like, you see it far away, you're like, oh, I can't really see that. They just show you zoomed in with the 3D model going, blah, and you're like, awesome. Then you see the 2D artwork, and it's like, blah. I was like, this is the game of the year. I loved it.
Oh, you have a problem.
No, I don't.
Alright, what else you got?
Devil May Cry 4 came out last year.
So what?
Yeah, and, just want to give some kudos.
Okay.
You know, even though it was, like, very stock standard and made you play through the same fucking area twice.
Right.
And beat bosses thrice. Yeah. It's still nice. But that's about it. Soul Calibur 4 came out last year.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, I did kind of... Well, I saw it. I was like, I don't know. I mean, it was good.
It's like for games that we liked that we mentioned the year, you know?
I know. Sometimes I just feel like when the game's just, like, another sequel... And
you're the one who pressured me into buying it.
It's good. I'm just saying. I don't know if I would consider because it's one of those sequels. It's one of the series for me that has become too complacent with just being the same thing over and over again.
It's almost like Madden.
Right. It's like Madden.
You get graphical updates and a few new roster changes.
Right. But. Except it doesn't have like the excuse of being a yearly release cash cow. It's like I wish they would try some more with it.
That's fair.
Chrono Trigger came out on DS.
Port.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't count those. Although, it is a very good port.
Yeah,
they handled it well.
What pissed me off, though, is that the final boss music, they didn't actually emulate that song correctly, so.
You don't get
that certain layer of, like, ethereal space-time continuum battle, like,
which
like
is very important
sort of thing, you know?
Right.
But also, like, the part that ping-pong right between, like, you know, the speakers, you know, left and right.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I have something to say about MGS4, but they're basically all on my blog, so I won't say anything about that.
Okay.
The last thing I want to mention, well, besides Crisis Core, but I think you already covered that last week, the last podcast.
Did I bring up Crisis Core? I think that was
I don't think anyone did, actually, because probably our Xorgon wasn't there.
Right. I did like Crisis Core, though.
I almost beat it, then I realized that, you know, I had to do all the missions. To overpower myself to kill Genesis without, you know, feeling like a wimp, so, you know.
Right.
Aren't you on, like, the last boss?
I was really close, yeah, and then my, like, PSP, I don't know, something happened. I stopped playing. I can't remember why. I was really close. I think I just dropped it, and it was like, oh, I'm not gonna, I don't think it even broke, I just dropped it, and I didn't feel like picking it up. I left it on the floor forever. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, look, something shiny and new.
It's right there.
My PSP, well, now it's broken because I tried. Something.
We tried to take the battery apart to make a magic battery so we could flash your firmware.
It didn't work.
A big spark and some smoke came out of the battery as we were trying to open it with an X-Acto knife.
It didn't work out. Okay.
Yeah.
And a totally borked release. You're going to hate me for this, just for mentioning the brand. Like the Naruto PS3 game.
Naruto?
If you want.
Go ahead.
I mean, it was just like...
I won't judge.
Oh, wait. Was this the fighting game that looked really good?
Yeah, it was it was like Cyber Connect. It wasn't Ubisoft doing it. So
yeah,
it like,
yeah, no, I'll give you some.
Was this that demo I liked? Actually,
yeah, this was actually cool. It just looked really good.
Yeah, it looked pretty nice. It had the typical trappings that killed all Japanese games, like repetitive missions, and Hub Town with like stupid missions to do, like oh, collect a bunch of scrolls and then you know, unlock another move. But you know, if they just stripped it down, made it a pure fighting game, and like. Put in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 type character swapping, so you didn't just have two support, you could switch between them. Yeah. They could make it a really competent game. But that's
yeah, yeah, because I remember I played the demo and liked it, but then when I read the reviews, I saw there was all that other stuff too, and I was like, ah, no. Yeah. Like, I mean, I probably wouldn't have gotten it anyway, but like I was just kind of considering it because I liked the demo, and I read that, and I was like, nope, don't want.
And the only real reason I got the game was because I had started Naruto back in like junior high. That's like the comic, and I liked that part. And then I saw they're going back to school. I was like, this is bullshit. I dropped it. Then I was like, I'll just finish this, you know, the first arc. And then I watched and I played the game, which is experiencing the anime, and I was like, yeah, it's bullshit.
Anything else, Joe?
I think that's about it.
You're good then?
Well,
I mean, we have David's stuff to do.
Yeah. All right. See if you recognize that. We could probably bounce off that.
Etrian Odyssey 2. He says it's the same as the last game, but better. And that's all he has to say about that.
Yeah.
Eversion. Okay, this is an indie game made by some guy
called
Zarathustra. I haven't played this, but he says it's like Braid for people who hate Braid.
I didn't play it, but I saw people playing it, and I don't know about people who liked Braid, but if you like Cthulhu-esque, that's what they sort of describe it as, like Cthulhu-esque horror stuff integrated with your cheery platformer, and
right,
which is
like,
free.
It looks very bright.
Yeah.
It looks pretty much, yeah, like a cheery NES platformer, but, you know.
I think, I remember, vaguely remember the basic description of it, the official one. It was like, the eversion is a cute, it's like a straightforward platformer with a dark secret, you know, so.
Oh, man.
But seriously, it's free, right? Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, so there you go. Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner 2.
Ryota Kuzunoha versus King Abaddon.
Thank you.
Which,
this just came out here, right?
Yeah, it did. Came out, a couple months ago. In America.
Right. He's a big fan of it, it seems, and he says it's like the last one. But it takes everything wrong about the last one and kind of improves upon it. He says it kind of feels like a return to the old school style of Megaton games. So he seems to enjoy it quite a bit.
I have a few problems with Ryota Kuzunoha King of Ben too. Like the last time we discussed it, which is when he and I were on the same episode, I had the same sort of line about not liking the forced retro on his usual style for his character design.
Mm-hmm.
Like I actually started, you know, playing King Abaddon before I got into Persona 4. You know, I got into Persona 4 because I didn't like King Abaddon going into it, you know, so far. Because, like, they did some changes to the Part 1's controls, which I thought, you know, Part 1's, like, you know, you say what you want about the combat, but the controls made sense. And then, like, some parts of the control for Part 2, I didn't really latch onto them that quickly.
Right.
Some things of the battle, like having two demons at once, and it's taking place in a more free form, a camera, instead of being a locked perspective. Those are certainly improvements. And also I got lost because I didn't have a strategy guide, so yeah, I jumped on a P4.
Well, he also brings up Persona 4. And he talked about this a lot in that same episode, actually. But he says he liked it quite a bit, but in the end he's a little disappointed by it. He says it's not bad, but I think he missed some of the things from P3. He said that he thought P3 offered a bit more freedom in your after-school activities. He also said P3 had more interesting bosses compared to Persona 4. Except for, like, P3 bosses, there's kind of usually, like, a puzzle to it, whereas Persona 4 is a typical damage sponge kind of thing going on. And, you know, just things like that. Like I said, he said a lot of this in the last episode. He said he thought that some of the final plot twists were a little unsatisfying, stuff like that. This game called Soul Bubbles, which apparently you can only buy at Toys R Us. But it's a DS game. It looks really interesting. Like, basically, you have to draw a bubble around these ghosts, and then you have to kind of blow them to safety. It looks really cool. I would look into it. Spelunky, Derek Yu's last games.
Oh, I heard of this.
Yeah, it's kind of an old-school Castlevania-like platformer. It's got an Indiana Jones vibe to it. You know, you're in a lot of caves and stuff. The Legend of Cage 2.
I think it's Kage.
Kage? K-A-G-E. It's like the character from, it's like
Virtue
the
Fighter?
From
I
character
think his from... name is pronounced Kage, too.
The Legend of Kage 2. All right. Okay. He said the first one's actually one of his least favorite games ever, but he said the second one is, much better. He says mostly because you can actually control your goddamn character. Huh. Also says it was secretly developed by the people who made Etrian Odyssey.
Huh.
How about that? All right, his other mentions. Advance Wars, Days of Ruin.
A very good Advance Wars game.
Audio Surf.
I love that game.
Tales of Games Studios presents Barkley Shut Up and Jim Gaiden, Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga.
Nah, he forgets. Tales of Games Studios presents Chef Boyardee's Barkley Shut Up and Jim Gaiden, Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga.
You complained that his name wasn't long enough. All right, Bionic Commando Rearmed. Boombox. Yeah. I thought Boombox was fun, but maybe not entirely deserved some of the hype it got. I don't know. Braid. Oh, look at this. Bonus points if the words pretentious isn't used when describing it.
I don't think we said that.
No.
Bonus points.
I never think it's pretentious.
I like that game.
George does. George.
I think the word you're supposed to take points to fall for is emo. But okay.
Castlevania, Order of Ecclesia. Dead Space, Devil May Cry 4, Fable 2, Gears of War 2, Geometry Wars 2.
Oh, can we just talk real quick? It was so fun when Geometry Wars 2 came out because everybody in the squad was playing it,
right.
And they had that high score feature
where
you could always see who was just one spot above you in your friends list.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that was so much fun.
God of War, Chains of Olympus. Of all the games on the PSP that are just, let's take a popular PlayStation franchise and put it on the PSP, I liked this one the most.
It's my favorite God of War game.
It's good.
It's the only one I beat.
Lucas Hawk 4. Did you get NDS? I thought this was really cool.
I
liked the way it played. It was like, you know, the story and stuff was pretty much crap and everything else, but it was just fun to do. It got a little repetitive, but I liked it. Ninja Gaiden 2, which I didn't play. All the pixel... Oh. What? What
do you want to say about Gaiden 2? I realized that nobody's even mentioned Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yeah. Do you have something you want to say about it?
No, I don't have a 360, so...
Oh, well, there you go. Pixel Junk Monsters and Pixel Junk Eden.
Never played Monsters. I like Eden. I understand Monsters is very good. I don't want to get it. I'm going to wait for it to come out on PSP, I think.
Poker Smash. Pretty neat.
Oh, that's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really fun, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty, can I really be the hero? I still kind of want to get... They have, like, that special edition of this at Best Buy.
It's the only edition.
Oh, really?
When it comes to the soundtrack.
It comes like, a soundtrack and, like, some Penny Arcade comic that looks cool.
Oh.
The Penny Arcade comic's, like, the album artwork backwards of the CD, yeah.
So, someday, maybe. And then Rhythm Heaven, which is fun.
Yes.
We gave some love to its predecessors not too long ago. Rock Band 2, more Rock Band. Space Invaders Extreme. Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, yes. Ascension of Valkyria, yeah.
I still have to play this. And World of Goo. And games that came out that year, but he can't play yet. Sands of Destruction. It's an RPG written by Masato Kato, who wrote Chrono Trigger. And Somabringer, which is Secret of Mana-style co-op action RPG. Also, he sent me an appendum which just said GTA 4 can go to hell.
Agreed.
Okay. You have to pick one.
One.
Just one. We all know my well-documented love of Fallout 3.
Yeah, Fallout 3 would work as good as anything for me here.
If not that, I would probably say Braid.
Yeah, me too.
Because it really did kind of usher in this kind of... what was the word I want here?
What did usher in?
Kind of like a new age of awareness of like indie games and this idea of like $10 to $15 smaller games made by just two or three guys.
What have we gotten since Braid that's like that?
World of Goo.
Oh, okay.
I agree with it. I mean, just look at like next week we have something like Explosion Man or. I don't know, maybe. I don't know so much if I...
Like,
it doesn't get the same,
I don't see it as much of a benchmark for
like
indie
two...
games as much as I see it just for downloadable games.
Yeah.
The idea of the whole, here's an actual game, and not just like an arcade game or a puzzle game or something kind of silly like that. And there were some things like this, obviously, before. It wasn't just like a retro game or something like that. I don't know. I think overall, I'd probably still say Fallout 3, though, over it.
Yeah, I kind of do, too. It's kind of like, you know, Mass Effect kind of did it too, like marrying a shooter and an RPG.
Fallout 3 did better.
Yeah, but it's still more an RPG. I think a lot of people don't like the game, have trouble coming to terms with the fact that it's an RPG first and a shooter second and not the other way around. But also, I mean, they've done such a phenomenal job with DLC in this game, and I think that's really commendable, the way they've done it. Where not only has it been, like, monthly... But it's always been, like, something different.
Right. All the issues that usually come with the DLC when they come out, notwithstanding.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
What are you thinking, Joey?
I don't have really a tie to break. Basically, the only games I have on my end that, you know, that I would consider for Game of the Year that, you know, you guys didn't mention, so.
Like, what would be your one pick?
I don't have a... Well, like I said, Binding Commander Rearmed was my game of 2008.
Okay. Well, it won't
be
that.
As pure, you know, loving it. As a pure, you know, game that I, you know, loved. And then, like, you know, that's the game that destroyed me, and then maybe, you know, maybe become an expatriate of it was Metal Gear, because Metal Gear Solid 4.
All right, well, you go
so
on
I'll
with
just
us.
Go with Fallout, yeah.
All right, cool.
I'll definitely get that one day.
All right.
You know, play it.
Good. We,
one day when they come out, the Game of the Year edition has every DLC on it.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, cool. We got everything then.
Okay.
You gonna do this?
I'm gonna take a big breath.
Okay, after you do this, we should probably. I want to actually go. All right, go ahead.
86 Zelda, 87 Metal Gear, 88 Mega Man 2, 89 SimCity, 90 Super Mario World, 91 Street Fighter 2, 92 Star Control 2, 93 Myst. Shit, you bastard! He started hitting me. You piece of shit! I was gonna do it. I was on such a good pace. Do you want me to go back and start from the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, you
give
do.
Me a chance.
Yeah.
Come on.
You stay over there.
One more.
Ahem. No distractions. No nothing, okay? God knows what you're cooking up in that twisted little mind of yours. Shit, now I gotta stop laughing. Okay. What do you have in your hand? What's in your hand?
Nothing.
What's in your hand?
Nothing.
Open your hand. What'd you drop on the floor?
Anything.
You're gonna throw that headphone jack adapter at me.
This would be so much awesome.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna read the list.
I've ruined it.
Ruined everybody's fun.
All right.
Now the world will never know if I can do this in one breath.
I got what I wanted anyways. I just want you to read the list.
Yeah. All right, fine. 86 was Zelda. 87, Metal Gear. 88, Mega Man 2, 89, SimCity, 1990, Super Mario World, 91, Street Fighter 2, 92, Star Control 2, 93 is Myst, 94 is Final Fantasy 6, 95, Warcraft 2, 96, Mario 64, 97, The Curse of Monkey Island, 98, Half-Life, 99, Counter-Strike, 2000, Baldur's Gate 2, 2001 is Halo, 2002, Metroid Prime, 2003, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, 2004, Half-Life 2, 2005, Shadow of the Colossus, 2006 Persona 3, 2007 Portal, and 2008 is Fallout 3. Thus concludes the definitive and authoritative list of the games of years past.
Yeah, there you go. It should be interesting that I guess the Half-Life universe is the only game with three entries in the list, with Half-Life, Half-Life 2, and Portal.
23 games.
23. Does that make sense?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,
15, oh, yeah, counting 16, the year 18, of origin.
20, 22,
23. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Only one Zelda game, actually, despite everything. Two mm-hmm. Mario games.
First
three? Wait. Two Mario games?
Mario World and Mario 64.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
There might actually be four Half-Life Universe games we count on Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
We like Half-Life a lot.
So does that mean Valve is the best developer ever?
Well, maybe. We can say that argument for some other day. We have future segments.
Oh,
segment.
God. Are we going to do that?
All right.
Not today.
Yeah, all right. So there's all that. It feels a little anticlimactic now, doesn't it? It's like I want to throw a party or something. But we'll move on to the quiz.
All right, here I go.
All right, you already answered. There's always one question on here which you, like, already answered throughout the course of the show.
Cool.
Question one, name the creator of Braid.
Jonathan Blow.
All right. Question two. Name the villain of Fable 2.
Oh, shit. Lucius. Lucian. Lucian.
Lucien.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Question three. The PN Special stands for what in Fallout 3?
The who?
The P in Special stands for what?
Oh, Perception.
Yep. Mega Man 9 was the first number entry in the Mega Man series since Mega Man 8. What year did Mega Man 8 come out?
Oh, son of a bitch. All right, let's see. It was supposed to be a Super Nintendo game, became a PlayStation game. So, it's got to be something like... '96?
'97.
Damn it!
Oh!
You still have a chance. All right, question five. Name the four survivors from Left 4 Dead.
Zoe, Bill, Francis... And,
Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis.
Okay, there you go. Alright, if you get this, you pass the quiz. You get the last question. Last question. In Barkley, Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, who is the patron saint of slams and jams?
I was, like, just about to say it, and then it just left my head. Oh, God, no. No, I know this. It's not Clissmith. It's the other one. the statues. Oh my god, what's her name?
Do you give up?
Is it Elizabeth? I don't know.
Teresa.
Damn it!
Patron saint of slams and dams.
Oh, wow.
Alright, you got score 4. Man, now I have to try hard with these quizzes. It used to be easy. I just went down the list and searched for games. Alright, alright. You want to talk about Monkey Island first?
Okay. So Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition came out on PC and 360 this week, and it's flippin' sweet.
It is cool.
We both have been playing it on the 360, where the interface works amazingly well.
Yeah, the point of clicking is done pretty good, actually.
They've mapped all the verbs to the D-pad, or you hit the left trigger to bring up a little visual menu, and the B button is kind of like the context-sensitive right click that almost always does what you want it to do.
Right, and then the right bumper brings up your inventory. The one thing I have that is less user-friendly is the way you have to, like, it's not easy to go in your inventory and just use an item on something.
Well, you have to hit the use button.
Right, which is a little annoying. Like, I wish I could, I wish I can go in my inventory and push, like, the B button and pick, I wish, like, A button was just grab an item and B button looked at something in my inventory.
Yeah.
If that made sense. What do you think of the reworked art?
The reworked art is awesome. Some people complain that, like, I mean, what they basically did is they just kind of, like, drew over every single frame of animation. As a result, some of the animation is a little jerky, like the guy swinging on the barrel is just 3 frames. So people complain about that, but I think it's fine.
I think it's, yeah. Like, I see what they were doing there, obviously.
Yeah. But, I mean, especially the backgrounds.
Yeah, the backgrounds are what look
like. The water looks good, right, too.
I can see how maybe some people aren't crazy about, like, the character art, but the backgrounds all look amazing. Oh.
And I'm so glad that you could just hit the back button to switch between the two versions.
It's always kind of fun. Like, every time I go to a new area, like, I want to compare it, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's always fun. The voice acting is really good.
Yes, the casting and the actual acting itself is perfect.
Right.
The guy who's the voice of, like, Otis and, like, Meat Hook, they are amazingly perfect.
Right. There's, like, a little bit of problem we always have when you voice old adventure games where, like, the timing is a little
off. Yeah, it was something you guys discussed on the Squadcast for Fate of Atlantis, where this was written to be read, not to be spoken. And it's more so an issue when a single character has a line of dialogue that's broken up into multiple lines of text, where there's these pauses, like, mid-sentence. But when it's fast dialogue, it generally works pretty well. I think you could kind of tell they made an effort to make their recording speed match the general pace of it. Like, if that makes sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But, on the whole, it's phenomenal. It works really well.
The sort of remixed music.
Oh, I want this soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's all live recordings of the music. It all sounds really good.
It's a great package. It's just, it's fun. That Monkey Island is around again, isn't it?
I know.
I really want Monkey Island 2 Special Edition now. Really badly.
But
really,
I mean, it's great. They got, like, you know, it's Earl Bowen doing LeChuck. I think
That's my biggest complaint of Tales of Monkey Island is that I miss him as LeChuck.
Yeah, the new guy's not bad, though.
No, he's not bad.
Like, to my ear, I believe it's the same, Tooth Rot that's from Escape from Monkey Island. It's the Curse of Monkey Island Stan and not the Escape from Monkey Island Stan, who I think is much better.
You think the curse is much better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because EMI Stan, he was just like, just shouted and had this weird high-pitched voice.
Right. I remember that.
And, it's so good.
I enjoy it. I want to play it some more. It's kind of a problem where, like, I don't want to play it down here while you're playing it. Because, I don't want to hear you doing things. And I like that there is a hint system. So, you know, you don't have to go to if you need help, you don't have to, like, get out of the experience and go to a walkthrough or something. Mm-hmm. All right. What else have you been playing?
So I've started Point Lookout, the latest DLC for Fallout 3. Haven't finished it yet. But what I like about this one so far is it feels more so than any of the other ones, except, I guess, Broken Steel. Like, you're in a more open area. It's a little less directed feeling. Like, you know, it's a much more large open environment in this one. And it's such a different environment. You're going through these swamps and marshes and just these completely new environments. And they have these new enemies. They're kind of like the mutation affected people differently in this area of the world, I guess. They look really weird. Like, It reminds me of something. I'm trying to remember what it is that it looks like. And I am not going to be able to do that. But it's just really cool. What? Zombies. Well, yeah, they look like zombies. In case you couldn't tell, Michael had to stand up away from the computer for a second. I don't know what he's doing. Oh, he's using the facilities. Now that you all know that. Let's see, there's something else I play. Oh, I did want to talk to you. And if you have the 360 version of Battlefield 1943, the 43 million kill cap was hit a couple days ago, and Coral Sea has unlocked. And it's nice that they did. It's actually its own mode in the menu. It's called Air Superiority, so it's not part of the regular map rotation, because it's pretty much just dogfighting, and some people like to use the AA guns on the ships. But it's surprising, really, how well it works as just a straight-up dogfighting game. I actually find myself really enjoying it and you know, going and playing it again and again. You know, in addition to that, we've just been playing a ton of Battlefield 1943. We played a few nights ago. It was me, Mike, our brother Chris, and our cousin David in a four-man squad. And that was just insanely fun. Oh, give me a Coke or something if you're going to go out there.
Show.
What, you walk away and I talk?
It's called the Shoutcast.
We put the microphone 20 feet away and we yell at it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it
was
great.
Oh, God,
that
this
was
is
fun when we played Battlefield all together. Does that interest you up at all?
I can't tell. We'll say yes for now. Oh, God. I just played the demo for Fuel, which is, it's a sort of open world racing game. I'll take one of those if you want.
Fuel was the Burnout sort of game, right?
No,
Burnout
it's,
sort of game?
I'd say it's more it wants to be MotorStorm, but the tracks are open. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just a confined route. They have, like, a little GPS thing, like, overhead to kind of show you what the game thinks is the ideal road. I found it to often be wrong. The demo just lets you ride a motorcycle, but I guess there are other types of vehicles and everything in it. It seemed okay. I don't think I'd pick it over something like MotorStorm or even, like, Pure.
I would agree.
Glad to hear it. And the last thing I'm playing that I'll just hit on real quick is Mike has me playing Uncharted finally.
Yeah, I'm forcing you to finally get through it.
I want to.
Understand why you had to stop because your system was stolen.
Yeah,
but it's something you have to do. You got to play through it. I want to play through it again.
It's good,
I really
it's,
do.
It's good that the game has a very good opening.
Right.
It's like good. I don't mind playing the opening segment of that game. Right. It's really good.
No, like Uncharted. Because the story is so good, it's easy to go back to because it's like watching a movie you like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll watch, you know, people will watch Raiders of the Lost Ark or, you know, Star Wars like 20 times, you know, in their life. Or, you know, a lot more. Yeah. You know, so you'll play through Uncharted happily because it's just fun.
Yeah, that movie comparison is really apt. Like, that came out Christmas 07, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I got that for Christmas and, you know, it was like, you know, their Christmas family gathering. Like, you know, after we watched, like, Fred Claus and Enchanted, and I was like, I think it was called Enchanted, right? That Disney thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, it's my turn. And then I took Uncharted and put it in, and it was like, you were watching, like, a really high-quality, like, CG movie, and I was playing it, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I can't wait for Uncharted 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Uncharted 2.
Yes.
Okay.
After Bayonetta and everything else got delayed, yeah, Uncharted 2.
Yeah, everything.
And maybe Assassin's Creed 2. Yeah, my wants for this holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much.
Joey, what do you got?
Besides Persona 4, which I don't have to say anything to say. Actually, did because this I basically dubbed this the Summer of Shame for me, playing a bunch of games that you know you guys actually did sort of mention in passing or covered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like in my queue is like besides Persona 4, I like, got Silent Hill 2 there. I beat Okami, so there was that. And you guys always mentioned in passing at Space Channel 5, so I had the part 1 and 2.
Oh, AJ, you love Space Channel 5.
I never played part 2.
You never played 2, but you
I never found
first
a copy of it anywhere,
did
but
you
I
have
love
the
first
you
one.
Played 1 on Dreamcast?
Yeah.
Because what you got, PS2, you got 1 and 2. That's how US police got it, you know.
Oh, I didn't know
we
that.
We should get that sometime.
We should try to track
it
down.
Yeah, it's super cheap. You find it at like $10 at most if you retail. Online, mint, maybe like $15-$20.
Oh, wow. You think it'd be worth more.
Huh.
But no, I loves me some Space Channel 5. That game was great.
Yeah, the thing is, like, you know, part 1, it was like 4 areas, you beat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't beat it. I can't beat chapter 4 because it's the same thing with Rhythm Heaven for DS, where I perceive the area of beats where I can hit, but then I get it wrong, or like I can't even tell where I start and I just like mess up like at the end where the hidden, who turns out to be the true villain, like he does those parts that screw you up total.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I'm really good at these old school sort of rhythm games. Like Guitar Hero, I have to like stick on hard mode or whatever these days.
Right.
But back when it was just like, especially something like Elite Beat, I'm just great at. I'm sweet. I'm so cool and good. All right. Anything else, Joe?
Besides those two, I played a bit. There was like that download of Namco Museum Essentials for PSN finally. Ooh.
Yeah, and, I did that.
It was a thing that feeds into Home, and you get some stuff there. And I could give a shit about Home. I like hang out there, like I pop in every once in a while. That's about it. But it's like it's nice to like you have that little alcove of your own. Like you just stick a little arcade cabinet there. It's like
that's kind of neat.
Yeah, and it has even in the demo version, there's like a unlockable like achievement sort of thing that you get a little nice little stamp there on the. Like, for Galaga, you get that Twin Fighter, you get one of your lives captured, and then you get it back by shooting the enemy, and then, that's an achievement, and, like, beating the bonus round by shooting all the enemies down.
Hmm.
It's a little nice stuff. Yeah. It's like the retro game challenge approach.
Right. I liked those old Namco Museum collections they used to release for the PlayStation.
Yeah, you had, like, almost, you spelled Namco, didn't you?
Yeah, they were fun. I liked the way they were presented, because it's sort of like, oh, it's a museum, and you sort of had to walk around it in first person.
It treated the subject material with respect, I felt.
Yeah, there was a bizarre quality to those games that I can't even explain, where I just liked walking around the museum. It's almost in the same way, like, with Sonic Jam. Remember that collection for the Saturn?
Yeah, that was good.
It kind of had that funny 3D element to it, which is kind of, like, silly, and it was there, but you walk around to, like, all these museums and stuff. I don't know. I was always a fan of those kind of things.
That stuff's cool.
It is. I'm trying to think if I did anything besides Monkey Island that was interesting this week.
Playing MLB?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. I will be on 9 the Show. I play that game all the time. I love that game. I think I've said it at this point, but man, is that
awesome.
MLB on
9 the Show, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think anyone ever followed up on this. I'm sorry to say I didn't listen to the earlier Exploding Barrels, but, what'd you call it? I remember, like, on, which squadron was it? I forgot which one it was, Ashka, you mentioned, like, putting in those voice clips of you, like, shouting, like, create a character's name.
Oh, yeah, well, he made a character that's basically Stone Cold Steve Austin, and when he wasn't
like,
on Monday,
like, the
cheers, I recorded a bunch of stuff.
How do you react to that?
It's cool.
Yeah, like he'll be playing the game, and I'm, like, across the room, and I hear, like, 30 of me shouting, like, 316.
Like, that's cool, but what's really good is when it's just, like, when they just try to make it sound like it's just you shouting from the crowd. Like,
yeah,
stuff like that is awesome.
It blends the audio in very
well. So, like, it's cool because, like, my character feels like a baseball player. So it's like I'm doing things and I hear people just shouting from the crowd, like, oh, hell yeah! Oh, hell yeah! Just great things. Like, there's so much I haven't even done in this game yet. Like, I don't even know how to bat, pretty much.
Yeah.
I haven't batted. I've only pitched. That's all I do. And I love it. Someday I'll make a designated hitter and I'll go through. But see, like, I can do the manager mode.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. I want to make a DH.
I love that game. All right. Why don't we get to the releases then?
Okay. Downloads. WiiWare. There's a game called BitBoy. I don't know how it plays, but I read the description from the Nintendo press release. Like, the dungeons start as, like, there's, like, a 4-bit dungeon, an 8-bit dungeon, a 16-bit dungeon, a 32-bit dungeon, a 64-bit dungeon, and a 128-bit dungeon.
Really?
Huh?
Yeah, I want to see, like, some videos of this game. I need to go look it up. It sounds like it could be interesting. Another game called Incoming and something called Antination. Excuse me. On the Virtual Console. Secret Command is a Master System game. Pulse Man. It's a Genesis game made by Game Freaks. Which
the Pokemon guys.
Yeah. It was Japan-only release, aside from an appearance on the Sega Channel, if you remember that. Apparently,
Sega Channel?
What's that?
Why Sega Channel?
I don't know. It never got a proper retail release. It was just on the Sega Channel. But I guess it's supposed to be really good. Who was telling us to check it out? Might have been Sword Guy.
I think someone said it was like if Nintendo, if the guys who made Pokemon did Sonic, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And some useless trivia here. Pikachu's new signature move, Volt Tackle. It's from Pulseman.
Oh. There you go.
There you have it. The DSiWare is Brain Challenge, which is like, I think, Ubisoft's knockoff of Brain Age.
Okay.
Xbox Live Arcade, Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition. Yay. Madballs in, Bebo Invasion. I have no idea what that is. And Tour de France 2009, for all you cyclists out there. On the PSN, they didn't have a new game release, but they have a summer sale going on, which I thought was noteworthy to mention. Wipeout HD is down from $20 to $15. Savage Moon down from $10 to $5. Crash Commando down from $10 to $5. Pixel Junk Eden down from $10 to $5, which is totally worth it. Brain Challenge down from $10 to $5. 3-on-3 NHL Arcade down from $10 to $5. And Flock down from $15 to $7.50.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. PSP gets Holy Invasion of Privacy, Badman.
I've heard a lot of good things about that.
Myst is now out for the PSP.
Why not? Port everything, huh?
Yeah, I have it on the iPhone, though. And Unbound Saga on the PSP. And
Saga, excuse me.
And two PS1 classics. Namco Diesel Essentials. Spec Ops Ranger Elite.
I think they're trying to go for all three Spec Ops. They got half a disc review on OPM.
Yeah, I don't know why they're so gung-ho about Spec. Maybe it's coming back.
Well, it's like $6, you know.
Yeah.
Probably like a drop in the bucket. Why not?
And then two new releases on Good Old Games this week. The Nations Gold Edition, which is kind of like a little civilization building sort of game. And Empire Earth Gold Edition, which was a 3D RTS created by the guy who made Age of Empires that spanned 500,000 years of human history. It was actually really cool.
Huh, okay. All right. So now for the regular releases. I just want to mention, Secret of Monkey Island also came out on Steam and Direct2Drive, a bunch of PC things. Mm-hmm. So all those PC...
Everyone go buy it, please. We want more of these.
I
want
to read this. I didn't know GameSpot reviewed it. I want to read it now. Gave it an 8, which is good, but I wonder what exactly
is wrong
with
it. Did you read the hilariously horrendous review that they talked about in Out of the Game?
No.
You have to look to them for it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any Out of the Game yet. I'll have to do that.
Like they gave it a bad review?
No, it's like the review that's, I think it's a bad review, and it's like so elementary in how they talk about the, you know, certain elements of the game. It's basically a textbook example of a bad review. It was from the same guy who, I think it's from the same guy who plagiarized the review and got fired.
Oh, that guy.
Him. I think it was him.
That's
not
pretty
sure.
Funny.
But yeah.
I thought he's out of a job. All right.
Well, that was like an old review, yeah.
NCAA Football 10, 360 and PS3. This came out?
It's also on like the PS2 and PSP. And...
Yeah, this is on everything. Yeah. I didn't know this was out.
Yep. This week.
These games are always just like last year's Madden.
Well, no. They've stopped doing that. I think Peter Moore was the one who kind of said, like, okay, we can't keep doing this.
So
like,
what is it then?
It's just as good as Madden. I mean,
I
think
it's good because it's only an 8 according to GameSpot.
I don't think it has quite the new features, but it's not blatantly last year's game anymore.
You should make a song according to GameSpot. Yeah. An Exploding Barrel single.
According to GameSpot, Holy Invasion of Privacy, Batman, What Did I Do to Deserve This? Is only 6.5. I don't know. I've heard good things from most people, though. PSP game. Nancy Drew, The Ransom of the Seven Ships for the PC. Officers for the PC. Darkfall Online for the PC. Warp Force for the PC. You need to scroll some more.
I lost track of where you went.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sherlock Holmes, Mystery of the Mummy for the DS and Wii.
Not to be confused with the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movie. Which looks exciting and fun, but nothing like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I liked everything in that trailer, except for all the stuff with him shirtless and fighting, like, MMA.
That was probably one scene, and that was, like, half the trailer.
And apparently that is part of his, like, background. Sherlock Holmes did do lots of that brawling in the fisticuffs.
Oh, okay.
Fisticuffs. And Birthday Party Bash for the Wii. Isn't that nice? We had a birthday
party bash.
We had a birthday party bash of our own last night.
Oh, man, that was great.
For our younger brother, surprise party. It was fun stuff. All right. Okay, everyone. Joe, thanks for joining us this week. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. We'll have you back on soon. Cool. We had a great time. We had a lot of fun. We learned some lessons here. thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at squadronmachine.com or at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tokoto@gmail.com. Not tokoto@squadronofshame.com.
You've been so good about that lately. Adjguy@squadronofshame.com.
Twitter.com/shinogu.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with some brand new exciting segment to replace the end of the year pass.
We totally have planned out.
I do have something planned.
I know you do. I just
have something to shoot my guys as well.
Oh, nice. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
What did I say?
Get the heck out of here, you nerd.
What was your thing?
I had a better sign off. Good. I was just like, thanks. Yeah, whatever. Get out of here. Go.
Get out of here. That's nice.
Get out of here. I hate you. Bye.
Get the heck out of here, you nerd.